I'm mad.
Yo, fam. Man's not hot.
I think we were already recording for like 30 minutes and the computer didn't record it.
So we deadass just recorded like a whole half a podcast. And now we go do it again for y'all. We're going to run it back two times. All right, que lo que mi gente?
Hi, my name is Carla.
Que lo que mi name is Joshua. So mad.
Welcome to What the Fuck Latinx, where I scream and complain because my camera fucking, my microphone, not even camera, fucking hates me.
Nah, the way you have to think about it is, though, that first one was a rough draft. So this one, this is the final draft, right?
But we have such good commentary.
We did have great commentary, and why do I feel like, damn, we have so many lost episodes.
We really do. We've recorded lose everything.
The amount of, like, conversational topics that we've like discussed and gone in depth and had like real nice candid moments.
I'm mad
that we go back.
I'm fucking mad.
Nah, so you're heated, but what's today's goal?
We're gonna
record a podcast. Yeah. All right, so what's today's topics? We gotta
wait. I have to introduce the podcast first. Well, hello, new listeners. My name's Carla.
Mi nombre es Joshua.
And welcome to What the Fuck Latinx, where we talk about what the fuck is our culture, our food, our history, our legends, our life, our family, and all that weird shit that we don't know why we do it, but we still do it.
In chancletas. A lot of chancletas.
Oh, my God.
Chancletazo.
I no puedo contigo. And so, housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
So, there was something that I wanted to talk about in the podcast that I've been holding on for, you know, for this month, just so I could talk about in this. And it's 2019. You know how last episode I said 2019 sucked?
Yo, 2019 was basura.
So I feel like 2020 heard me and said, hold my drink. January 2020, we had the Australia fires. We had the
earthquakes in Puerto Rico.
We had the earthquakes in Puerto Rico where a lot of people, no one talks about it, but there's a lot of people that have lost their homes.
So many people displaced right now.
We had the fires in California. We had the coronavirus. We had the loss of COVID. And this was all in a month. Like, what the fuck? What is happening?
I feel like I've lived the whole year already.
And just in those 4 weeks, I'm like going to break the table.
Call it.
Oh, my God. Okay, like, 2020 was like...
I feel like the last thing that really got
like,
to
wait,
me...
wait, and to add to it, we just lost a whole half of an episode. So, like...
Like, 2020 bugging out, but we're going to fuck 2020 up.
Yeah.
You feel me? Yo, I'd like to have, like, a moment of silence. Like, 8-second moment of silence for Kobe Bryant and the victims of that horrible plane crash. All right, rest in peace, Kobe.
That also happened.
Like, that's somebody that, at least to me, growing up, was inspirational. Somebody that, like, put in the work and his mentality spoke for it. Like, this man was in the gym with a broken right hand, shooting with his left hand. Like, hard work, dedication, you know, like, he's like...
I don't know sports. I didn't know him. But, like, I feel more upset about his daughter.
No, definitely the daughter.
Like, obviously, he's a legend, you know, but he was an adult. And the fact that his daughter was a child and...
Didn't really get that opportunity to
flourish. To even live, yeah.
And
that's the part that has me a little effed up, but...
Definitely all the other kids on there, man.
Yeah, and there's full families.
All the untapped potential that they had and the beautiful lives that they were going to, like, lead forward.
And it's...
So it's crazy. It's crazy.
January. What the fuck happened?
January. So long, motherfucker.
So, I do feel like February 2020, you know, is like starting 2020 all over again. I've been in the gym for the past 2 months. I haven't given up. I don't know how I made it this far. I went to the gym this morning.
That's
why I look so bummy. Because I was in the gym.
Carla looked like she's ready to fight somebody. She got the black hoodie, the messy Puerto Rican bun. And then she don't got the big hoops. She got the short hoops. So it's like, I'm cute, but best believe I'll whoop that ass, though.
Yes, I will. That's the vibes. And yeah, so I've been going to the gym. I've been like trying to stay with my.
What's your plan? Following your regimen?
Yo, this is all the time when people fall off. If you have something that you're dreaming of or that you want to do.
Yo, just do that shit.
Don't think about it. Just honestly, like, work for yourself and to make yourself happy.
I'm a strong believer in over-analysis paralysis. Where we'll like overanalyze something so deeply in our minds
mm-hmm.
that we just don't even do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've caught myself, like I catch myself designing a whole brand and working with it so much, trying to quote unquote perfect it to the point where I don't do shit with it.
Yeah, that's true.
And you just mentally wear yourself out and you think about, oh, the what ifs, or are people going to like it or this? Like, yo, no, just create something, go with it, roll with it. And
honestly, there's nothing better to create than something that you like. I feel like we've been learning a lot, like, while doing this podcast and, like, trying to pick topics. And I'm the type of person who I want to do the best at mm-hmm. the best that I do. And this podcast isn't to do the best. It's to do me and the things that I like to talk about. And I hope that you, the listener, likes what we talk about, too, and, like, you can relate to the realness of what we talk about. So
yeah, because none of this is like contrived or scripted.
We
like,
have no scripts.
There's no ulterior motive.
Half an hour of an episode. I'm still mad at that.
Nah, bro. But YOLO. This episode got a.
Is YOLO a thing? YOLO's not a thing.
Nah, that shit's dead, bro.
I tried.
That shit's dead.
I'm still. What year was it? 2015?
I don't know, but that nigga Drake over too, bro. I don't know about, yeah, man, it's not hot fun.
Okay, what's the topic for today?
Today. We're going to talk about telenovelas.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so because I already talked about this, I'm going to probably like go a little quicker so I can talk about my favorite telenovela. And I'm going to do a telenovela kind of like history for those that don't know.
A quick little brief, you know, give you guys
a brief. That's a good way to describe it. To know what the heck is a telenovela, where does it come from, why do we even watch them, right? So a telenovela is a type of run television series or drama, and it's supposed to be the Latin version of a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
But they're two different. They're definitely growing up watching telenovelas. They're very different from soap opera, and
the pacing is completely
different.
Storyline and pacing.
There's always someone
different.
Who just falls in love with a doctor in a soap opera. I don't know why.
You know what I really realized?
Like Grey's Anatomy. Like, it's not a soap opera, but I feel
it feels like one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good show, though. I like that show.
I haven't watched it.
I
like cried in one episode and never came back.
Should he said that? But damn, what was I going to say? I've noticed that a lot of the soap operas I've ever seen ever,
mm-hmm.
they have like these really cheesy and corny sets.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's like a set.
That's going to cardboard going to fall apart.
Yo,
yeah.
If Shorty breathes on the wall wrong, the shit's all going to fall. Like, it looks bad. It's trash.
It does. Okay. I lost my train of thought. Okay. The word telenovela comes from television and novela, novel. So, fun fact is, when I was in Puerto Rico, you know how we talked about how I didn't have U.S. history. Oh, by the way, what month is this?
It's Black History Month. Shout out Martin Luther King, Minister John Lewis.
I don't know who that is.
Rosa Parks.
I know who that is.
You know who Rosa Parks is.
Yes.
Come on, man. You know Harriet Tubman.
I don't know
who that Underground is. Railroad. No.
So I grew up with a different history than like someone who grew up here in the United States. So even though we're Latinos, like I grew up having Spanish as my first language and English as my second, right? So we don't have Shakespeare. We don't have like, I don't know, whatever else you read here. We read like Spanish, European like authors. And like, I think that's something really sad about when I moved here to Massachusetts is you can't mention one like author that's from Bolivia or Chile or Argentina or Mexico or Venezuela because we're not taught to appreciate those artists. And when I growing up in Puerto Rico, like that's what we read.
That's crazy because growing up over here, I had no appreciation for Dominican authors, Dominican poets, Puerto Rican, Mexican. And to an extent, I almost didn't even think they existed.
I know. They just completely wiped them out of our of our culture and our identity.
And every now and then you'd get the teacher that would like pass you a book that was written by somebody that wasn't like Robert Frost or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, those are great authors, poets, and whatever, but, like, there was definitely, at least growing up here and learning here, there was a lack of my personal cultural identity.
That's what I was going to say is, like, I always loved growing up reading Spanish books by Latino authors because the way that they write is something that you can relate to is, this is my identity and I love my country and I love my culture.
Yeah, because I feel like it's coming from a perspective that's...
And the things that we eat and, the things that we
smells,
do.
The smells, the sounds, the textures, all that can be captured.
Our history, like, versus reading a book that you can't relate to at all.
Nah, exactly. And you just reading... I used to hate English class. And it's partially because I couldn't relate to the content. It's like, yo, none of this shit's happening in my household. These aren't familiar themes to me.
Yeah.
Like, I live in Lawrence, Mass, which is like little DR.
Yeah.
Especially in the early 2000s where it's like, yo, everybody's a hick. Everybody's fresh off the boat.
Everybody's on their phones.
That's now. Yeah, that's not... now. But like when I was growing up, it was just, it felt like you were in the campo.
Mm-mm.
You feel me?
I feel that. But yeah, so the reason why I'm saying this is because growing up in Puerto Rico, I remember junior year of high school, we had to read a novel for Spanish class, and it was called Doña Bárbara, and then I cheated.
Doña Bárbara.
I cheated.
What you mean you cheated? How you cheating?
So
wait, what you whip out, the Spark Notes?
No.
The
teacher wanted us to watch, read the book, but then they were showing the telenovela en Univision.
Uh-huh.
So then I just, like, watched the telenovela.
Bro.
And then my essay on that. Didn't read the book.
Carla said, espérate, ¿qué libro? No, yo tengo la novela que...
Honestly.
Wait, how did that translate, though?
It was the same shit.
Es la misma vaina.
I was just like, it's very, obviously more dramatic on TV, but...
The same story, same...
the backstory was the same, because it was... Bro, I want to say a sad story, but it was like a very...
That shit is crazy, bro. I can't imagine.
I just watched the novela.
You're a cheater,
I didn't know
what
Spark Notes... We didn't have Spark Notes for Spanish books.
Nah,
book,
bro,
so,
you
so
finesse. You're
you
a finesse
gotta
in a
improvise.
House.
You gotta bro. Improvise. So
you watched the whole novela. That's crazy.
Heck yeah, I did. So, yeah. Tele means television, novela means novel. And something that I think is really cool is that other parts of the world actually have their own version of it. So, for example, in Philippines, they have like a tele-siri or sari.
It sounds like TV series.
I can pronounce that. Philippines has a version. Japan calls it dorama.
Dorama.
Canada calls it tele-roman.
I love it. It sounds like tele-romance.
Specifically in the Quebec area. Quebec? Thank you. Yeah, that thing. And Asia or Arab world calls it dramas. So
okay, that's pretty.
We
tough.
All have like our version that like takes in consideration our cultures, which I think is pretty cool.
Nah, facts. And even here, like in America, soap operas.
Yeah, those are boring.
Those are
boring.
It's even funny how they came up with the name. Like I guess back in the day, they would 1930s. They would play as like radios. They'd play through the radios. Mm-hmm. And the people that were producing them and pushing them were soap companies.
That's fucking USA making money.
No, we all making money. It's a capitalist society. Let's not even talk about that, though.
Anyways. Okay. So the thing about telenovelas is that most of them share similar themes or styles.
Mm-hmm.
And the soap operas are supposed to be the English version of it. The difference between them may be in the story, so the culture. The length of the stories, and most of them tend to have intertwined storylines. So you have multiple characters that overlap. Y que Sofía estaba con el marido de Juana, and like, you know, all that shit.
The crazy plot twist, too. You be having like 30 plot twists in one episode.
So we also later on started to have miniseries, which you were telling me what the difference was.
Usualmente, like, a miniseries, like, let's say 5 episodes, pero the episodes are a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, instead of
it being 40... Like, a telenovela will be months.
Yeah, like, it drags on. A miniseries is like, you get the meat of it within the first 3 episodes. Last 2 are, like, wrapping it up, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, what's the next thing? Telenovelas usually take from 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the series or the country.
Yo, some of these are an hour, bro.
Yeah, we were watching
those commercial breaks would be brutal because they would pick the moment where it's like they build it up.
And then like, do you want to buy this couch?
Hola, aquí estamos en Toyota Auto Fair. Y saltan con un commercial, bro. Oh my God.
That pisses you off.
And then I remember back in the day, I don't know why, sometimes they'd have a commercial break. Mm-hmm. You'd come back to the thing for like 5 minutes mm-hmm. and it wouldn't even be that scene. It'd be like mm-hmm. another person talking. Mm-hmm. Then they hit you again.
Because then it has to go back to the scene.
And it hits you again. Cliffhanger. Yep. Another Honda commercial.
Well, you said Toyota.
No, because it'd be the Toyota then the Honda one.
Oh.
I remember that.
Mala mía. So they also they started combining drama from the 19th century, and they naturally evolved with like the Latin culture to what we have today. So mm-hmm. when you think of like the older novela that our parents watch, it would be like Maria in a horse, and like
La Rosa.
What is
de Guadalupe.
It? What's a
Maria en el rancho.
Ramon came in a white horse. Que estaban en el rancho con los empleados.
El don Ramon.
Oh my God! And then, so you can definitely see that inspiration of back when cuando teníamos no rancho, like los de estos de azúcar y de arroz
yeah,
y de
like
donde venía
plantations
where most of the income came from Latin America. And over time, like now they're more modern and stuff like that. So they were supposed to transmit social cultural messages and incorporate it to the storylines.
There's definitely a lot of cultural messages. Mm-hmm. Like the Mexican novelas are deeply rooted in Mexican culture, mm-hmm. where the man is very like
macho.
It's macho, machismo, so mm-hmm. fuerte. The women are always like loving, caring,
poor, adopted.
You know, very docile and like kind of to the back.
And I feel like it really shows like what the expectations was for women versus men. Because growing up, I genuinely felt like this is what I'm supposed to look in romance in a man. Right, so
it's kind of funny. It's funny that you say that because watching how those men would act, mm-hmm. I feel like I had to become more hyper masculine, mm-hmm. and it glorified guns and being like strong,
alcohol, tequila, y pistolas.
Sí. Yeah, and it's like, oh shit, like that shit's cool to me. That's awesome.
And like speaking of Mexico, so the novelas did star in Brazil, which I will touch upon in a minute.
Brazil.
But in the 70s Rio. And 80s, Mexico took over the fucking telenovela industry.
Took over is an understatement.
They took over like, the fucking world is what they did.
yo, they took over my household. It took my mom's soul.
They took over my whole fucking, like,
bueno,
el pueblo entero. Like,
yo, que si que. You know how
stores would close to go watch telenovelas.
Loca, no diga nada. Yo, I'd pull up to the bodega. The bodega guy would have the TV running con la novela.
Oh, yeah. So if you think you're missing it, then you watch it in the bodega.
Tú corres para la bodega. You watch it for 10 minutes. Cuando llega el commercial, te va para atrás.
Yeah. That's literally how you do it. And so 70s and 80s, Mexico started becoming the pioneer. And they basically made and distributed most of the, like, novelas for entertainment worldwide mm-hmm. compared to other countries at this time. And then later the 90s, when the internet starts coming in and all this mm-hmm. stuff, then we see Brazil comes in and other countries as well.
Ah, yeah, Brazil.
And so...
La novela, la nueva.
No, I'm going to go into the history. So, like I mentioned, Brazil is considered the pioneer of the genre.
They started, but I feel like Mexico, like, they saw the foundation that was laid. And they built upon that shit. And they just went off.
So in 1951, Brazil produced Your Life Belongs to Me, Sua Vida Me Pertenece, mm-hmm. Which was the first telenovela in the world. In 1952, Cuba released Senderos de Amor, Path of Love.
Senderos de Amor.
And then Mexico released Angels of the Street, Ángeles de la Calle.
That's definitely a Don Omar album. that or it's a Daddy Yankee song.
But then, like, Ángeles de la Calle was once a week. So they started doing, more episodes and, like, they started doing more content, I guess. Mm-hmm. Between 57 and 58, Mexico produced its first dramatic series, mm-hmm. Which would go Monday to Fridays. So they did once a week. And then by 57, they started doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's crazy. Think about it. So it was like a slow buildup. And then they started just...
kept going.
What I find crazy is that they had like different novellas for like different
categories. I'm going to talk about that.
Oh, my bad.
Stop it. Okay. And then to kind of like end up with the history is the first global like telenovela was a Mexican novela called Los Ricos También Lloran, which is The Rich Also Cry in 79.
So definitely some little rich Mexican girl was getting dragged.
By the poor maid.
But little did she know that the maid had hands.
We're totally making this up.
But this is probably a novella somewhere.
Yeah.
Piénsalo bien. And then the maid ends up like taking her husband or ends up dating the brother.
But then she probably gets kidnapped and then she gets rescued and then married.
But then the girl tries to like kill her but ends up getting killed in the process.
Oh, they never die. The evil one never dies.
Tú no crees? No. You know what? No, they always live forever.
Yeah. They just like... mentor someone else to destroy their lives since they can't. Anyways, so The Rich Also Cries was distributed to Russia, China, the United States, and so on. And that's why we had that telenovela craze in the 80s, 70s to 80s.
Can I talk about... Oh, no. Yeah, I'll talk about this later.
Okay. So to kind of sink into the novela that I want to talk about, first, I'm going to talk about some genres that are like the general ones. First, we have the working class melodrama. And so these were really popular in the 90s. And I even think about like Friends.
You know what? That is a good comparison.
People like to like what their days to day lives, like how they work, how they live.
Yeah, just like basic. It's relatable stuff.
Like, Friends is a series, but, like, that kind of background. You know what I mean?
Nah, you can relate to that, though. It's all, like, just regular day-to-day issues.
And so, it says that it was easy to understand, and it was less explicit content.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was the common rags-to-riches plot, which everyone is a huge fan of, like, the Cinderella story.
Yo, we love that shit, though. It gives you hope.
So, it features a poor woman who falls in love with a rich man whose family spurned her, such as the Las Tres Marias, which was 92, 94, and 95. So, that's the working class melodrama, is when you go from poor to rich. And that's literally all 80s, 90s.
That's typical. That makes sense.
And that's the foundation of every other telenovela branch. I feel
like it's just playing on what our culture wants. It's like all our moms are probably working 9 to 6s.
And all they want a rich man who like sweeps them off their feet.
Low key, they just want to be swept up off their feet. They want to live good, comfy.
So then the next... Oh, by the way, I want to give credit. I forgot to say it. The Wikipedia. I didn't feel like doing research today. So if y'all want to do your Googles...
Yo, do your Googles, B. Wikipedia is really valuable.
Go donate. We donated.
Dev got to donate to Wikipedia. Shout out Wikipedia. Shout out Google.
Oh, my God. I love Google. So, the next category is historical romance, which is usually set in the colonial period in the late 19th century. So, for example, El Vuelo del Águila in 1994 or Bodas de Odio, 1982. And
the evil sister ruins 20th
century military dictatorships such as Años Rebeldes in 1992.
Why do I feel like I've seen it?
So before. Like when you see like the era, like carts and carriages all that kind of stuff.
And like horses and
The next one is the teen drama, which I'm actually going to talk about. My novella. Stop. My novella is a teen novella, and I'm going to talk about more about it. These are usually the ones that portray the lives of high school teenagers, and the issues that they go through, such as sex, drugs, coming of age topics, parents, and things like that. And I'm going to talk about Rebelde, which was like 2004.
I'm not
going to
ruin it. That's why I'm mad quiet right now. I'm not going to lie. You know what I mean?
Other types of novelas include mystery and thriller, which may portray the disappearance of someone.
They disappear and randomly come back 4 episodes later?
No, like the whole series is like looking for them. And it says most of the time, like Chile was a huge...
A mí nunca me gustaban esas novelas, sí.
I don't know. Because we're used to the other ones.
I like the high impact ones.
And so Chile was like a huge producer of this genre of mystery and thriller novelas. So they most likely like consumed that. Romantic comedies. I actually loved romantic comedies. Yo Soy Betty La Fea.
Betty La Fea, bro.
Betty La Fea was good novela.
That was a classic, bro.
Yo.
El Chavo del Ocho. That'd be, is that no. novela? That'd be what? Like a sitcom?
Yeah. Okay. That'd be more of like, yeah, no. It wouldn't be a novela.
No. It's not enough drama in there.
Yeah, exactly.
The violence is there, though.
You can say that again. Or Los Tontos No Van Al Cielo. That's another, like, comedy novela. Romantic comedy.
It is. So
and then the last two are pop band stories. So,
pop band.
Oh, Alcanzar Una Estrella, Reaching a Star, 1990. Rebelde, which falls, like, on both categories.
It's, like, teen, but also,
but
like,
it's a pop band,
it's
too.
It's, like, a pop band.
They were... Which is what I'm going to talk
about.
Bro, they
were huge.
Shut the fuck up. You didn't even see them.
Bro,
stop
they were,
lying.
No, I that little theme song is stuck in my head.
Paz mi mente. Oh, so you do know it.
Yo, I know the show. I vaguely watched the show, but I wasn't like...
interested in?
Because I feel like...
I was in third grade when that shit came out.
You know what it was? I was more into like cartoons.
Oh.
Hey Arnold. And,
so
like,
that real life shit wasn't attractive.
It was weird. It's like, oh, why are these kids like, what are they doing? It's like, I want to watch this cool stuff. My stuff was more like hip hop and, you know,
oh,
like American culture. And watching them being in those rural areas and like the environment, it wasn't appealing to me as a kid. So I was just kind of like, eh.
I was
but
like,
I won't lie though, the theme song is just kind of jiggy because I still know the song to this day.
I was like 8 or 9 when I started watching it. Mm-hmm. Wait, stop it. I'm going to talk about this in my blah, blah, blah. So, pop band story novellas are usually aspiring pop stars, which may spawn multi-platinum pop groups. And so, I feel like that's one of those things that made Rebelde so special is that, yeah, they came out from a novela, but they also, like, did concerts worldwide and it, like, became, like, this crazy thing for...
It was real life, like...
It was, like, 5+ years of, like, them, like, they would do a season of a novela and then they would go on tour.
Bro,
and then they would do another novela.
Bro, the amount of kids that
backpacks,
saw...
backpacks,
yep,
pencils,
the
notebooks.
Shirts.
I had the sticker book. I had the cards
books?
Like it was Pokemon. Like, oh, my God. I had the whole thing. And then the last category is narcotraficantes, which novelas,
that's my category.
I do not watch it at all, but I feel like it's exploded recently and like there's a lot more narcotraficante novelas.
There's a bunch on Netflix now too.
Oh yeah. Oh
like,
yeah. So
like in a few of them, I forget what it is. Oh my God, why am I forgetting the name?
So those are supposed to show their like present like what their lifestyle is and like this is not a narcotraficante one, but I remember when I was younger, Sin Tetas No Hay Paraíso came out.
Yo, esa, that was the novela.
And that was like, I feel like that was my introduction to like, I didn't even know that world existed. Like, I know it existed, but you don't know how it happens unless you see it. So it was like, what brings a person to come into that world? And watching a novela was like, oh, the need of money, like the wanting to be someone better.
Yeah, exactly.
And all these bad decisions take you to like this place. And
it's like fast cash, drugs, ambition. Just
yeah, ambitious was a huge one.
Ambitions, envy, and jealousy all just kind of mixed up.
And you and you're like
crazy turmoil.
It's a crazy world. And so those are just like some, I bet other countries have different types, but this is what Wikipedia has. So this is what I'm working with.
Yo, you know what? This is, no. Hold on. This is not off topic. You know what we have to talk about?
What?
Everybody that's listening right now, at some point after this this podcast is over, I need you guys to look up Indian telenovelas.
No, in dramatic scenes.
Dramatic. No, yeah. That's what it is.
Dramatic scenes. In
Yo,
Indian telenovelas. Yeah, they're good.
It is the funniest thing.
I love it when they do slow-mos.
Bro,
or like when
they
do
the
camera zoom in. Like,
they have a slow-mo in like a quadruple camera zoom. It zooms in to one person, to the next person, zooms in again, zoom.
Because they
zoom,
have
zoom,
to
zoom.
Get everyone's reaction.
Yo, and then it zooms into the dog, zooms into the person, zooms back in, zooms into the hand.
The person's still falling from the
and
stairs.
The person's still falling like 6 hours later. And it's like, yo, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I know I'm mad hype.
I'm mad hype.
Because the thing is, just even thinking about them, thinking about how those scenes are, it's like, whoa.
I forgot what you were talking about. Oh. No, I don't remember.
So the wild Indian dramas. That's where I left off. Okay. Google those. Look that up. Them shits are fire.
Ah, can you lift the right? This one. Yeah.
Yeah, you good?
No. Oh my god, yes. Okay.
There you go.
That sounds horrible. Anyway, there's a category. Well, it's not a category, but something that I did want to touch upon. So after 2010, you know how we mentioned that like dinosaurs have become a little bit more modern?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah, they're definitely very different. So after 2010.
Yo, hold on. I'm sorry. That a lot was mad awkward.
The what?
The way I said a lot.
Oh my god.
Awkward as shit. But yeah. Stupid. It should have me sick. I said it. I'm like, yo, why the fuck would I say a lot like that?
I don't know. You're weird, but it's okay.
I had another thought. It was going to be a lot because of the topics and the way that, at least for me, the portrayal of women has changed. It hasn't changed tremendously, but I feel like women aren't as docile and as weak in novelas anymore.
You know what I was going to also gonna say is, ay, nieta. the representation of LGBTQ plus people has increased.
Has it really?
Because our childhood telenovelas didn't have anyone like gay or like homosexual or like lesbian. Because you couldn't be.
Nobody that like.
And the actors were, but their characters weren't. Which is interesting.
That's crazy.
Because I'm thinking specifically of like a character from Rebelde, whom he like later on came out. Mm-hmm. Or like he was out but not out professionally or whatever.
Okay, so even within the professional circle, he still kept that hush hush.
Yeah, because he was scared of not getting the job if he said.
Also, think about the culture. Mm-hmm. Like Latinos do not understand that at all.
And it's a lot of related with like our like religious beliefs, like a religious parent
deeply rooted in you know Catholicism and Christianity. And,
a religious parent is not going to want to accept
their
child's sexuality. Like I want to say back in the day, because again, you can see the reflection of like how we're moving as a society.
It's different now. I feel like you still have a lot of ignorance, but sometimes people are willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
Because now you have so many resources at your disposal.
Yeah.
And you can fully understand like psychological aspects and whatever you want to find out and learn about, you can understand it through the internet, videos, and just conversation, really.
And the behavior of people was always also very rooted out of fear of not understanding what it meant. Mm-hmm. So then they would like push it away. And now that we do have a little bit more access to information, it's like, well, if you don't know what it means, you can search it.
You can Google
it. You know what it means. So
and not to say that, oh, Google is like the end all be all, because some of the information you might stumble upon might be the wrong information.
False.
Or, yeah, it might be fake news.
Yeah.
But we're definitely more informed. So.
Anyways, so we have this new kind of like, I don't want to call it genre, but it's like the new version of millennial telenovelas, which has come out of like Netflix and Hulu and this kind of like.
Yo, I'm surprised that Netflix is like tapping into the novela.
Yeah, they have a whole like Spanish like category type of thing. And so an example of a millennial telenovela would be Jane the Virgin. So the characters are Latinos, like. I've never watched it. But
no.
I don't watch TV because like I'm in college. I don't have time for that.
Dude, I'm like a Netflix junkie.
When I was younger.
Yeah. Because Shorty's like 35 now.
And I feel like it's some days.
Ay, mija, back in my day. Ay, en el barrio.
You're not gonna give me vapor rub?
No, quiere vapuru. You have a coronavirus?
Oh,
it's okay.
God.
It's okay. Vix.
Yeah. You have a broken heart?
Yo, throw Vix on that bitch. I bet you would fix it.
You have a headache?
Vix on that bitch. I bet it fix it.
Con sopa. Y like Sprite or 7-Up.
No, tiene que ser un ginger ale.
NPR was 7-Up.
Aquí en la casa mía era ginger ale.
7-Up.
Un Canada Dry.
7-Up.
None of that swipe shit.
7-Up.
Canada Dry.
7-Up.
Yo, you what's up? We can beef about this all day, bro.
Okay. And that's like the last category I wanted to touch was millennial telenovelas, which are now on Netflix, Hulu, and all this distribution channels.
They're like a thing, bro.
Yeah. Like, that's like the new version of it.
It's La Reina del Sur, Queen of the South, is like this crazy narcos like telenovela where this girl is like the plug and she's like this bad bitch.
Bad bitch.
Just putting in crazy work, bro.
Okay. So
that sounded real ghetto.
So I'm excited because my favorite, my favorite novela of all time, History and Forever, was called Rebelde. I was 8 years old. I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about or watching. Well, like, I understood, but...
Question. What like, initially drew you into that novella?
The music.
The music? Just the music aspect of it?
Well, I liked the... For what it was, there was a lot of diversity in, like, the kind of characters that they had. They had, they had, like, an actor that was a big girl.
Okay, okay.
And they had the rich girl, who's, like... Whose like character was like me or whatever, and she's like she had a star and she like liked to spend money.
Cute, fun.
Yeah, they had the rebel one who had like red hair and like would take like pictures, like really like
was really artsy and like creative.
No, it was like the rebel child. Like her mom was always like, "Por qué me hace la vida imposible?" type of daughter.
Oh, that type of daughter.
No. There was a guy who, like, has a father who gives him money but is never actually present. And so...
Damn, that's crazy how, like, how real those topics are.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, the novelas that we grew up in were, like, all this fantasy type of stories that was, like, I don't live in a rancho. I don't have, like, a father who's, like, a business empresario.
Dike, giving me mad money and then leaves.
Exactly. Like, but
actually, my mom leaves and she tell me not to, you know... Don't burn the house down.
Exactly. But these were characters who were all flawed. And as an 8 year old, I feel like I related to that highly. And it was like,
ooh, yeah.
Even the people that you think are perfect, they all had a thing that they had to go through as high school students. And so I wasn't in high school yet, but I related to that student aspect of.
Because you were a child still, yeah.
Yeah, no one is perfect. And even who you think is perfect is struggling so much.
It makes you realize, like, yo, even if you have money,
There's still anything.
There's still something else in your life that's lacking, whether it's like that emotional connection with a parent, or just having somebody present, really.
Mm-hmm. And then there was another character too that was like the poor girl that like gets into the rich school.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the main character, but it shows you how you have the poor, you have the rich, you have the one with overprotective parents, you have one that whose parents don't care about them,
and she's off just bugging out, just having crazy fun.
Yeah, like you have all type of people in this like space, which is what school and high school were. And on top of those of navigating through your personal issues, and you have school and graduation and who do you want to be and all these identity questions that I don't know I liked it. So I haven't even started.
That's why I'm quiet, because I'm like, all right, let me let Carla speak for
okay. So, Rebelde was a Mexican telenovela created by, produced by Televisa, which is like a Mexican company.
Televisa.
And it was actually, I didn't know this, it was a remake of an Argentine telenovela.
Really?
So, it wasn't originally Mexican, it was the Argentino.
Oh.
It started in October 2004, and it ended in 2006. So, it lasted 2 years in the novela. But even after the novela ended, like, they were still doing music and tours for a little bit after that. Bro, so they lasted over 5 years at least.
It's absurd the amount of Rebelde merch that I saw. I think
I had it all.
I think
I had it all.
I remember watching commercials where they would promote the tour and the album.
They had all the CDs, bro.
They had an album. That shit bugged out.
Yeah. And they
I remember walking.
They went platinum too. Yeah. Like, they were so good.
Yo, number one, Latin America. Yo estaban en the Spanish.
They were in Europe, too. Like, they were everywhere.
Todo lado, bro. Todo lado. She was big as hell.
They were super good. And so, the telenovela ended up having 2 seasons.
Question.
Yeah.
I never listened to their music. Was the music good?
I'm going to fucking hit you with this fucking water bottle right
here. Bro, all I know is the theme song and maybe a couple one-off songs that, like, maybe I heard.
I know all of the songs of all of the album.
Let's just, does it bump in the whip?
Yeah. We're gonna listen to it like after we're done recording. I'm gonna fucking force you to listen to it. It was the lyrics, even I feel like they were a little mature for my age, but they were about kind of like prioritizing yourself and your happiness over other people.
Self-love.
And it had like that, yeah. And then it had the Spanish rock vibe that I just like freaking love. And it was just like, they were one of the reasons why I wanted to learn how to play guitar, because their lyrics were so profound that I wanted to
be able, yeah,
express myself the way they did.
That's crazy. So, I like that. That's dope.
So season one follows this group of teenagers that go into this rich school, and you have principals and teachers. You have this three girls, three guys. There's obviously more characters, but these are the characters that we're following. So you have Mia, the rich, cute, like preppy girl. Mm-hmm. You have Roberta, the rebel girl who does what she wants, has red hair. I remember this too. It was 2004 and she had red hair. I was like, bad bitch. She had red hair with black highlights.
Yo,
I've always been like a good type of student, so like I admired the bad.
You know who I remember bitch. A lot from that show? The blonde hair guy.
Oh yeah,
he was real douchey.
Yeah,
super douchebag. Like when I vaguely remember, but he was just a dick and a half, bro. Bro, even looking at like if you look at a picture of him, he looked like a scumbag. I don't know.
It's the attitude. That's good acting. And then I'm trying to remember. So that was the main two. The third girl was the poor one that got into the rich people school. And then you have the three guys that one of them has a rich dad who just wants him to take over the company and doesn't care about what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Another's poor, but he... So this is where the novella aspect comes in. I don't remember too much in like my notes here, like kind of fucked up. So the poor one, Miguel, he was like poor, but something happened to him. So then he found a way to like get into school as a scholarship to like play vengeance. And he wanted to date the preppy girl to like get vengeance on her dad. Mm. But then he ended up falling in love with her.
Always.
So then he had like this self, he wanted to avenge his dad or something. He wanted to avenge someone.
But it's like deep down inside, now he's conflicted because it's like, oh.
Because he's in love with her.
I love her, I hate her dad. And it's like.
No, and he also couldn't stand her and what she stood for, because growing up in like a humble family and her being so like acting like she deserved everything. Mm-hmm. It was just, he loved her, but he also had to like learn to coexist, I guess.
That's and hard then, though, damn. Because they come from like two different worlds.
Exactly. And he didn't come with the intention, but he fell in love with her. And then the third one, I can't even remember what his issue was, but they all had like.
Who's the third one, Max?
No.
Is it Max? I forget the names. My bad.
Giovanni.
I just threw you off.
Giovanni Mendes was the third character.
Okay.
I can't remember what his issue was. He was like one of the characters that was like my chapatra, but
he's there. But like,
he was there, other ones have more drama than he did.
Obvious.
And they basically unite and create this band, and they find each other as a way of support. Like they help each other out through what they're going through in their personal lives. Mm-hmm. So they love doing music. They love like. They learn to work together and then love working together. And when things get shitty, they have each other to help each other out.
You kind of have that little, like, that group of people to kind of lean on.
Yeah, you have, like, your core.
Your core group, yeah.
Yeah. So they have problems,
That whole setup just sounds so dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Like, think about how, like, yeah, everybody's so different, but they're still... That one thing, that one common thread is able to, like...
And they actually won awards for best musical theme and...
Bro, I think they won best telenovela one year, too.
Best young lead actress, Dulce Maria, the one where the redhead one.
Yeah.
She got an award as well. But sure. They were all nominated for a lot of, like, awards.
Bro, Sabina, that shit was... Bro, 15 years ago, bro. That shit is old. She came out like 2005.
Stop. I'm still young.
Think about that, though. She's been 15 years. And we still talking about it.
Every time I see a post, dice que ellos se van a reunir, I'm here like, I'm going to take a plane to Mexico.
You think you're the only one? Think about how many people worldwide, they get that angst. And like, oh my God. Rebelde.
Oh my God, my chair doesn't move.
Adios mio.
Okay. It also felt a little bit like a musical in that aspect.
Yo, High School Musical before High School Musical.
Exactly. So
can you imagine a Rebelde
musical? Well, so the thing is, like, the music that they would, like, that would come on the radio, they would showcase Alma Novela first. So they were going through some problems, and then they figure out, and then there's a song when they reunite. So then they create a novel, like a song, and then you hear it on the radio, and you connect it to what you watched last night.
And then you start, it's just, like this whole adventure.
It was everywhere. I related.
The marketing behind that shit's fire then.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. Like, you watch it on novela, you're hyped, and then you magically hear it on the radio.
And then you see the notebooks, the pencils, the backpacks.
And then you find out, oh, shit, they're on tour. Oh, damn, wait.
Yeah, they were literally everywhere in my life. I remember for that year, I was obsessed with buying the sticker, like the cards.
Uh-huh.
And you would open the packs, you would get 10 cards of characters de la novela.
Uh-huh.
And then I would exchange with my classmates, ones que teníamos repetido. So it would be like, I have Roberta's mom, I have the dad, I have her, I have this person. Oh, I have esta repetida. And then we would cast collected. So I knew all of the characters and like what they stood for because of this card.
The little card had like the attributes. Y todo
yep.
Eso.
Yep.
Yo, qué mal.
Yep.
But it's like me collecting Pokemon cards.
Yeah. But I did, like, I collected telenovela characters.
Telenovela cards. Yo, just thinking about that, like, that was really a thing.
Yeah, and, like, it made me really happy. Like, I learned a lot about working with people from telenovela.
Because
I just, like, again, going back to the fact that we always talk about how we think that money can fix everything, but these were kids that, they were a little bit older than me, but I could still relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And they had money, like they did parties, they did this, they did that, but
they
would still have the same issues that I would have. They had like an episode about drugs. They had an episode about like a character that was a virgin, and she was like, I don't know what the right thing to do is. Like, do I want to be with this person? Do I want to respect myself? And like all these lifelong lessons that I didn't understand at the moment, but as I became older, I was like, I don't need to do this if I don't want to, because I respect myself enough. True. Like, I learned from a telenovela, which is kind of crazy.
It's bugged out to think that, like, a telenovela would later on, like, reinforce just, like, good morals, good values, and, like, self-worth to an extent.
You could also learn not what to do because of what you would see happen to the telenovela characters. Like, I don't want to use drugs as a high school student because I don't want to end up like this person. They have money and fame and blah, blah, blah. And they start
and now they're homeless and starving.
And they started doing drugs. Their parents were disappointed in them. They got kicked out of the school.
They get disowned from the family.
It was really real. And, like, I never thought of, like, what doing drugs might do to me. And then I saw it and I was like, I don't want to be that person.
I never really thought about how impactful novelas could be.
Yeah.
Because for me, I had cartoons.
Okay.
So cartoons and, like, the morals in those cartoons would instill that in me.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I wanted to be, like, Hey Arnold. I wanted to be cool, artsy, but still, like, I was still a little shy, a little quiet. But, you know, I adopted a lot of his, like, character traits and shit. At least the ones that I would, like, you know.
And then.
You know.
Just to finish off on my story. I know it wasn't, like, crazy detailed. It was, like, a group of kids who go through stuff. But I don't want to spoil it for people who want to watch it. Fun fact, it is on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yes. They have all of the seasons.
No.
On Netflix. So if you want to go watch it, you can go watch it on Netflix. Netflix sponsor us. I wanted to point out what their albums were. They have Rebelde, which was the first season. Nuestro Amor, which is like second season songs.
Chapter 2.
When the novela ended, they had Celestial, so they continued to do music.
Mm-hmm.
Empezar Desde Cero, which was another album. And then Para Olvidarte de Mí, which was another album.
They dropped 3 albums?
5.
5?
Yeah.
Yo!
Yeah, I saw them for a long time. They were super famous. And so they also had, like, Portuguese albums from their Portuguese tour. They had live albums, Tour Generación. They had, like, a documentary back when that wasn't a thing. They had a song with Looney Tunes.
No, sir.
They had a reggaeton song because they were popular. Sir. Yep, they had a reggaeton song with Looney Tunes. Yep.
Yo, guess what I'm Googling later on today?
Rebelde with Looney Tunes.
Yes, I am.
I remember because
Looney Tunes con más flow.
I remember being really young and my cousin, Debra, picked me up from school and she's like, Are you listening who's on the radio? It was Rebelde with Looney Tunes. It was a reggaeton song. We're Wisin too. Not Yandel, but con Wisin.
Yeah, Wisin, Daddy Yankee.
No,
not Daddy Yankee, but like...
I actually think Daddy Yankee was there.
Was he part of the Looney Tunes at that time? I think so.
I don't know, but I know he was in the song.
That's bugged out.
Yeah.
I can't even like start to...
So they were so famous that they have a song with Wisin and Daddy Yankee. Think about that. Rebelde had a song with Wisin.
The fact that those two genres like crossed over and...
So it was kind of like Spanish rock with reggaeton. Like reggaeton.
Yeah. I'm mad poppy, right?
Yeah. So if you want to know more about Rebelde, you can go and watch it and have fun and...
And fall down that crazy-ass rabbit hole.
That of all this crazy stuff that, like, is possible to happen, but no one has all that stuff happen.
Nah, hell no. Time. I mean, unless you're, like, I don't know, fuck it. What's that novella? I think it's Mariela de Barrio.
Oh, Mariela de Barrio.
Unless you're Mariela de Barrio, and then your whole life is just, like, complete hell.
Yeah, that is true. But, yeah, so that's my episode, so it's your turn.
Okay. So, damn. What do you mean? What do you mean that was your episode?
That was like my novela story. That was the novela that most impacted me. By the way, we're doing these stories because it's Valentine's week. I don't know if we mentioned that.
No, we didn't. Because obviously, like,
so drama. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm single.
Holla at your boy. You know, girls. You know what I mean?
What's your Cash App? So your sugar mama's
good. Yo, Cash App is too cozy. I believe it's 0904.
Sugar mamas.
Holla at your boy. Money. Holla at your boy. All I want is some Oreo cake.
I'm single. Go to the Instagram and DM me because, you know, we need something to do. Guys, I want free dinner.
Guys, hit up Carla. Take her out. You'll feel me. So my experiences with telenovelas is a lot different than yours.
That is.
Because my perspective was just from watching my mother geek out over novelas.
Oh, I'm like, I was geeking out.
Like, I remember they would have the different sections, la novela de las siete, la de la ocho, and then the ones that were like...
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think Rebelde was around...
That sounds like una de la ocho.
I can't remember if it was a night.
It was definitely a night.
I remember it had The Simpsons at 4. I get out of school and watch The Simpsons.
Because it wasn't as raw and as raunchy as the other ones.
Mm-mm.
It was still like kid-friendly, had like cool themes.
It had sex scenes and talked about sex.
Like, I remember my mom geeking out over, like, La Rosa de Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
Sin Seno Noel.
No Paraíso?
Yeah, that was the one. Yo, when that novela came on, bro,
I watched it, too. It was totally inappropriate for me to watch it at that age, but...
I think I caught glimpses of it, but usually I'd get kicked out of the living room.
It was like,
you're not supposed to be watching this shit. This shit is hyper-violent, hyper-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like...
I came out just fine, Mom.
Dike, ma, I still hate novelas. I don't hate them, but I have like a, I didn't really have an appreciation for them.
Mm.
I think now that I'm older, I can like better analyze it and look at it and enjoy it for what it is. But now
as an adult, you can see it.
No, I can definitely see it. And there's definitely a lot of themes there that I can resonate with, but also like, that's some fuck shit, bro.
Okay. So talk to me. What do you guys watch?
Bro, my mother would watch everything. Everything that was coming out in the early 90s, late 90s. And I think she stopped watching like around, I believe all the good novellas were done by like 2008.
Yeah?
2008 novellas died, bro. No había ni una novela, nothing that was rocking. Tal vez salía una que estaba más o menos, pero siempre la dañaban. Siempre se estaban ellos con un dique. Oh. It was dead. They had beaten the shit to the ground, bro. Mm-hmm. Piénsalo.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you. I'm not a huge novella person. So I don't have all these crazy stories to hit you with. I do remember that feeling where it was like.
I remember this one.
There was so much.
Gaviota.
Not hip.
Oh not my hip. God, not Gaviota. Hip. She was an employee Gaviota. In the rancho. And donde destilaban tequila, so they had like this huge.
Oh no. So they were getting drunk for the free.
And she was like a bad bitch and.
Always.
El dueño de
el jefe, el maduro, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh.
And they were supposed to be together, but then he ended up marrying someone else.
Y ahora ya está celosa.
So then she left. No, she left. And then she came back hecha una empresaria.
And then she ended up working in his company or something like that. I can't remember all of it. I just remember it was also one of those first novelas that I was like, a woman who, she left and she became a businesswoman instead of being a maid.
That's crazy.
So I remember that like distinctly. And the way that the song started, it would be like him screaming Gaviota. Gaviota! So, that is all I remember from the way that was that dude just screaming Gaviota.
Gaviota!
Nah, I just remember like, I just remember it being leisure time.
Mm-hmm.
And just how like some women have book clubs, like over the three-way phone calls, yo, my aunts would have a novela club. And it was the cutiendo, like, yo, yo, you can believe that happened. Yo, I can't believe that happened. Oh my God, que estúpida. Yo, se la van a matar, tú vas a ver. And it was just like this crazy ass like discussion about these novelas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carla's over
my
here.
Cousin, in my house, it was just like we will all sit to watch it together
because
we have to talk about it after. So if I was at my tia's house, then it was my tia, me, my mom, my cousins. We were all my tios, which is another thing. Men don't like to admit that they watch it.
Yo, hay mucho hombre que le encanta su novela.
More than my tias.
I had like uncles that were really machista, and they'd be like, yo, that's just for shorties. You can't watch novelas. You can't watch novelas. And every now and then I catch myself like, all right, yo, like, this shit kind of cool. I don't know what y'all talking about. Homeboy just pistol whipped this dude off a horse, took his girl, took her to the crib, boom, cooled it, saved her. It was like, all right, this shit kind of jiggy.
Yeah. But yeah.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. That's it. I really don't have a deep, like, connection with novellas.
But she was a fan.
Who?
Your mom's.
My mom was a huge fan. The aunts were huge fans. It was something that, like,
it was something that was always there.
And in a way, it impacted me. I don't want to say positively or negatively. Because it definitely gave me, like...
I almost died.
It gave me almost like a quote-unquote template of, like, love and romance. Like you were saying. Like,
yeah. It,
like, how to act and how, like...
How like, I was supposed to want to be treated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like it created that atmosphere.
Was it realistic or not?
Dude, it was definitely not realistic, bro. Come on.
But it definitely set a foundation for like our culture.
Yeah. That's true.
Like we grew up on that, and that's something that's in the back of our head.
Nah, think about it, bro. Up until like 2008, fundamentally in every Latino household, everybody was watching a novela.
And like, I don't think it's gone.
No, it's not gone. I think it's but just like transferred the hype isn't there anymore. All the stories have been beat to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's like horror movies now. You watch a horror movie and it's like, it's not it. Like, you know what's gonna happen.
That's true. But
You trying to wrap up? What else you gotta say?
That's all I got. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yes, sir. Hopefully everybody out there is having a good night.
If you don't have anything to do, go watch it then right now. And be
hold up. Before because Carla put me onto this, and little does she know that this is like my guilty pleasure now.
Mm-hmm.
Watching telenovelas are hell.
Oh my God.
Yo,
what's their
telenovelas are hell is like a
YouTube
quick
account. YouTube
it's
account.
Funny
is,
Funny or Die.
Go to YouTube, Funny or Die.
And then telenovelas are hell, and you get a crazy synopsis of like every telenovela, early 80s, 90s.
And it's just dramatic and extra they were.
So fucking extra.
It.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
But yeah, have a good one, guys. I hope you have a lovely romantic evening
with your significant other.
Or Netflix.
Or if you're cuddling up with your pillow, you feel him, you have fun with your pillow, because that's what I'm going to be doing. Yo, Carla, you trying to meet me after? All right. All right, everybody. Follow us on social media. What the fuck? LatinX.
Or Instagram or Twitter. WTF LatinX.
Let's get it. My name is Joshua.
My name is Carla. And we'll see you on the next one, guys.
Tú sabes, con chacletazo.